I thought it would be nice to do something a little different. The first scripture reading is well known to most all of us, this Psalm 23. I thought it would be nice if we prayed this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture is from Amos. And Amos, he's a fiery guy, you know. He has a lot to say, and he says it loudly. And we sang the song Ancient Words, and Ancient Words are preserved. And you might wonder, why in the world were these words preserved? He's a hot one, you know. So let's hear the fiery Amos. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The songs of the temple shall become wailings on that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we can offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah smaller and the shekel heavier and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by his pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son at the end, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of the hearings, the word of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. This is the word of the Lord. Tell me, when the question is the glass half empty or is the glass half full, where do you stand? On the side of the half full or the half empty? So much is made of the go-getter and make-it-happen type of mentality in our society. So I'd like to make a case for the side of the half-empties. Those wry realists who can't let the bad slide by unnoticed and unremarked, they are the type of people who would agree with Barbara Johnson when she said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but mostly the just, because the unjust steal their umbrellas. Yes, they can be very Eeyore, very much a downer sometimes, but sometimes they save us from danger and stupidity and from ourselves. The prophet Amos was one of those persons. If you listen to our text today, you might think that Israel was in a period of calamity. But on the surface, it wasn't. Amos preached these dire words from God during the most prosperous days Israel had ever knew until modern times. Under King Jeroboam II, Israel experienced a rare phenomenon in its history. They were at peace, and economic prosperity was just booming all at the same time. They were so prosperous, no one wanted to change anything. Leave everything as it is, so the good times could continue. And then along comes Amos, preaching doom and gloom. What a difficult task to do, to preach judgment during good times. No one wanted to hear it. And yet they knew that their prosperity was built on the backs of poor and oppressed people. They knew deep down that the low prices they were paying for goods and services were due to unfair labor practices and the exploitation of the poorest by the rich. They knew that others were suffering while they were profiting. Israel knew that injustice was growing right along with the prophets. Amos was very thorough in his denunciation of godless practices, and his tone was strident and loud. He preached about Israel's reliance on military might to get their own way, their grave injustice toward the poor among their own people, their incredible immorality, and their shallow faith and worship. No one was safe from his sharp tongue. You know, the French have a saying that the more things change, the more they remain the same. When we look at dropping church attendance, increasing greed and violence, when we see yet another top business exec or financial firm indicted for fraud, when we hear of another politician or sports hero doing something immoral, doesn't Amos sound incredibly contemporary? We have made great advances in medicine and science and technology, but human nature, as the French say, remains the same, you know. It's still prone to defy and ignore God's law of love. So Amos speaks the prophetic word to call God's people back to God's ways, then and now. Not to punish for punishment's sake, but to call people back to God's more excellent way. And so Amos's first question is, do you really know how to live life? And his second question is, can you recognize when your choices are death-dealing rather than life-giving? These are the same issues Jesus spoke about hundreds and hundreds of years later. They're the very issues Moses worried about, that people would go their own way instead of God's way and make choices that lead to death and disaster rather than life and liberty. Amos's message is so important that he's not really particular about who he offends. He singles out business people, clergy, and other groups. But Amos is really speaking to everyone whose stomach is full, whose bank account is doing rather well, whose calendar is full, but whose life is empty. They look full, Amos says, but they are like a basket of summer fruit. They look good, they smell good, they seem good, but that's all a facade. On the inside, where God can see, things are quite different. And Amos reminded them that if things are not good and wholesome on the inside, things can go quickly sour and bad. In other words, things can go from ripe to rotten in a hurry. And we all know that happens as easily with life as it does with fruit. When we lived in Sarasota, Florida, one Saturday afternoon, we decided, as our little family of three, to go to the famous and wonderful Crowley Nursery. I mean, this place was out, It wasn't at the middle of nowhere, but you could see it from there. And it was just in the wilds. I mean, it was incredible. They specialized in tropical trees and plants. And when Anna was in grade school, she loved to go there because they had a potbelly pig. They had geese. They had 5 dogs and about 10 cats. We don't know. People kept dropping them off. They were out there. They got fed. While we were out there wandering around, we came upon a huge stand of banana trees. All types of banana trees. There were dwarf banana trees. There were banana trees that had red bananas. There were short ones and long ones. And we decided we had to have a banana tree. Really, I decided. So we bought a baby banana tree, which is called a pup. And we took our pup home and we planted it in a corner of our yard. And it was the Goldfinger variety, the one you buy in the grocery store. And it happily grew to be 15 feet tall. And then it did something amazing. It bloomed. I'd never seen a banana tree bloom. I just thought bananas just popped right out of the grocery shelves, you know? And then it did something really weird. It put out a long, thick stem, you know, sort of like something from Star Trek. And then a huge Martian-looking red bud appeared, sort of like a rose bud on steroids. It was about 6 inches long and 4 inches wide at the base. And we watched in fascination over the next couple weeks as some mini bananas, you know, like tiny, began to appear. They were cute little things, and they grew to be about 4 inches long and about an inch wide. And then more tiny bananas appeared, and more and more and more. And then we observed them as they grew bigger and bigger. And there must have been about 200 bananas growing on that tree. And then it hit us. At some time in the very near future, we were going to have 200 ripe bananas. Holy cow, what are we going to do with them? The world's biggest banana split. Banana bread for 1,000. Because, you know, you can't keep bananas all that long. They ripen and then they start to deteriorate quickly. And 200 rotten bananas would be a real mess. God's vision to Amos was of a people who were like a basket of summer fruit. Or maybe like a group of bananas. People like us who really only have today to live. Today to listen for the word of God. Today to do justice. Today to share our abundance. Today to really live. If we wait until tomorrow, the opportunity may be gone. And worse yet, instead of enjoying the bounty of God, things could start to get overripe. Is your life full on the outside, but feeling a little empty on the inside? Are you living or merely existing? Are your choices life-giving or death-dealing? And what about the world around us? Is it like fresh fruit, wholesome and life-giving? Or is there some rottenness out there that needs to be tended to? I invite you to make Jesus Christ the ground on which you stand and from which you grow. Take a look at all that you have and all that you are. Take stock of the time and talents God has given you and ask yourself, how can I use them to glorify God and help love and justice and mercy grow? Do that and you will truly be ripe for life's opportunities as they come to you. If we allow rottenness to fester in us or in our world, it's not going to turn out well for anybody. Well, there's one thing I forgot to tell you about the banana tree. After it blooms and it sets its fruit, it dies. That's it. One time. Done. But from its base come new shoots that become little banana pups. So that even though this batch of fruit is gone, more is on the way. More and more and more. With bananas, you always end up with more. And so it is with following God's way. It always leads to more for you and our world. More life, more love, more of God's grace. Amen.